This is Ian's podcast, starring Blaine, and we have some stuff to talk about tonight. Blaine's the star. He's the big shining star. I'm a big star, a big shining star. Ooh. You ever seen Boogie Nights?
I haven't actually.
You should check that out, man. It's good.
Very good. I've seen
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood.
You seen Punch Drug Love?
Dude, no, I don't think so.
With Adam Sandler.
Did he do that too?
Yeah, that was his last movie before There Will Be Blood.
Didn't seem. I don't.
And then before that was Magnolia.
I never.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Inclined to see.
Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, Adam Sandler movie.
Okay, so.
Was it great?
We saw a couple of films.
Oh, wait, which one is that? Oh no, I'm thinking of
his first movie is called Hard Eight, which is also called Sydney.
Yeah, I wanted to see Magnolia.
Then Boogie Nights. Magnolia sucks. I think
really?
It's his worst film. Yeah.
Oh wow. Well,
it's really like just too depressing and and just kind of covers like all these people's lives in one night in Los Angeles and it's really pretentious and it's got these crazy moments where like frogs rain from the sky.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that one. Is that one good?
It's awesome. Yeah, I like it. That was my favorite before There'll Be Blood.
Favorite of his movies.
Yeah. Okay. So we saw two movies today. Right. One of them was Street Kings, starring Hugh Laurie.
Right.
And the other one was...
Starring Hugh Laurie.
And the other one was...
I thought he was going to be playing a house, too. I was like, what? He's
I know.
This is weird.
I know, because he shows up in a hospital first. Yeah. You're like, wow. Hey, pull that chair back.
He's like, you suck at life. And I was like, dude, he's house. What do you want me to do?
Pull the chair back from the wall so you're not banging
into it.
Forward.
Yeah, thank you.
Forward.
Oh, you've already dinged it up.
I didn't do shit.
You're the only person who sits in that chair, I hope you know.
It was like this when I got here.
Okay. So, what did you think of Street Kings? Like, what were your expectations going into it?
My expectations were extremely low.
Yeah,
and I was like,
because it got 18% by today.
Well, I didn't even see the Rotten Tomatoes. I just saw, like, the previews, and I was like,
I was excited because I know David Ayer's
stuff.
Yeah,
I heard you guys were talking about that it had good, you know, pedigree.
Pedigree, yeah, totally, yeah.
But I didn't know anything about that.
Ayer wrote, first of all, Training Day, which was an Academy Award winning film.
Are you going to let me finish my...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying, I didn't have any of that to go off. I didn't know who, you know,
gotcha.
Was behind it.
You just thought it was some trashy street cop.
Yeah, exactly. I saw the preview. It had Keanu Reeves, and I saw Cedric the Entertainer. I was like, what the fuck is this? This looks like some boom shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, I thought it was really good. I actually liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Probably. I'd say a lot.
Knowing that the reviews were that bad, usually I like that when that happens, because I know I'll like it better. I still found it mediocre, but that was better than I expected, so I was excited by it. David Ayer directed Harsh Times, which he also co-wrote, with James Ellroy, who is the writer of novels such as L.A. Confidential, White Jazz, The Black Dahlia Murder, stuff like that. He's been writing... with David Ayer, though, and for David Ayer for a while. He and David Ayer co-wrote Dark Blue, which is a very good movie, with directed by Ron Shelton, with Kurt Russell and Scott Speedman, who's the guy from Triple X, State of the Union, and the Underworld movies. Blonde guy. Sexy. You know what I'm talking about. And then he just writes cop movies, basically.
Yeah.
And directs them now.
Didn't you say he was previously a cop or something?
He was once a cop. Okay. And in LA. All his movies tend to be about extreme corruption in the LAPD. Like, every single one. And you see the dirtiest, most disgusting parts of LA in all the movies. There's never nice parts of LA. It's always, like, the trashiest, worst parts.
I never saw Training Day.
It doesn't make LA seem like a very nice place. Yeah. No, Training Day was good. I liked it.
Yeah, it looked good.
So the movie follows Keanu Reeves' character, Tom somebody, Ludlow.
Yeah.
And he's a dirty cop, right? But he's the good dirty cop.
Yeah, would he be an outlaw hero?
Let's not even talk about that.
I think it fits.
We'll bring up Ian's bullcrap later.
He is an outlaw hero.
Ian is?
No. I mean, Keanu Reeves' character. I think that falls.
You think so?
Under his.
I think he's an anti-hero.
Anti-hero.
He killed some people.
Well, no, but he's got like.
Here's the thing.
He's got
here's the thing.
But he's got principle.
If Clint Eastwood's character in Unforgiven is an anti-hero, he's an anti-hero. They just don't show you that he killed people. He used to kill women and children.
What did they have that younger. Thing like? Where someone they said, have some guys like you killed a lot of people.
Somebody's like, I heard about you. Yeah. He's like, I'm not a good person. I shouldn't be helping you out. I killed women and children. I don't want to go back to that. Something like that, you know. Yeah. And it always bothered Ian that it doesn't show it.
Yeah.
So that you never actually you just.
Well,
hear
I don't think
say
you still don't know the. Difference between an anti-hero and an outlaw hero, remember?
I don't care. He made some crap up.
I think it's pretty good. There's a difference between an anti-hero and an outlaw hero.
An outlaw hero is just like Han Solo. That's all it is. It's just a slightly lesser version of an anti-hero.
No, that's all it is.
They operate outside the law.
Yeah. I mean, an anti-hero is...
That's crap.
Your definition of an anti-hero was...
anyone who's not a straight, I'm a good guy protagonist.
Well, they're not a good guy, but like then they happen to do something, you know, good, and then they're an anti-hero because...
Yeah.
Yeah, but an outlaw hero is somebody that is good, but they act outside, you know...
And they do bad stuff?
They don't do bad stuff.
At all? So they're just a hero.
No, they just bend the rules to...
Like what? Name one.
Well, like Keanu Reeves in this movie.
He murders people.
Yeah, but it was he's a good guy because he was he saved those two Asian
an anti-hero is
ladies, schoolgirls.
An anti-hero is someone...
I didn't say he was a bad guy. He's not a bad
that.
Guy.
I understand that. You're talking about an outlaw hero.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is an anti-hero is exactly what you're describing right now. What he does. He is an anti-hero in this movie. He's not an outlaw hero.
Well, he's not. You said that an anti-hero is somebody that he doesn't have, like...
He has selfish motivations, and then there's something that turns him good at some point, and it makes him decide to do the right thing. That's exactly what he does in this movie.
Yeah, but he's always, like, acting... Well, I mean...
How does the movie start?
I mean, that's his character.
How does the movie start?
His character is more of an anti-hero, but his actions are more outlaw hero.
It's so stupid, and it's like thin line. Yes, it is.
I don't know.
Gosh, dang, I was hoping when Ian wasn't here, we didn't have to hear this crap.
Well, I'm taking his place.
Anyway, so in the beginning of the film, here's what this outlaw hero does.
Oh, man.
He spews a bunch of racist crap. He tries to sell some guys some drugs and some guns.
I like the dialogue.
He follows
them
back to their place, and he slaughters them.
And that's what an outlaw hero does.
No.
It bends the rules, man.
That's not bending the rules.
Yeah, it does.
No. He was murdering some people.
It does what's necessary.
He was murdering some people under the orders of his boss because it was what they felt was necessary for them to all move up in the world.
Necessary.
They're all anti-heroes. Except for all the rest of them who aren't anti-heroes at all because they never actually end up doing good things.
I still think it's an outlaw hero.
You're wrong. You're both wrong.
Fine.
It's both an anti-hero.
Well, I mean, you don't know Ian's opinion on this. So.
That's true. I don't know Ian's opinion.
I mean, I'm not the embodiment of Ian.
Or whatever he would make up this time to make it sound like he was right.
Hey, you can't. That's a cheap shot because he's not here to defend himself.
Exactly. We're going to talk about Ian some more later.
That's not cool.
Yeah, no, he'll enjoy it. He'll enjoy editing this podcast. Clap.
We should add some claps.
Yeah, we'll add some claps. Keanu Reeves blows punch people up. He shoots him to death.
I still want to work on that anti-hero, outlaw hero. I think you still don't even believe outlaw heroes are a real thing, but still, to the people that are, outlaw hero purists, they know what's up. I think that, like, Keanu's actions, you know, what he did throughout the movie, they were that of an outlaw hero, but his
define the difference.
I already did.
No, you didn't.
An anti-hero is the one that has you know selfish motivations and
does terrible things.
Yeah, does terrible things
like slaughters people
and accidentally does something good in the process.
Not accidentally.
What is it?
It's never accidentally. An anti-hero is someone who comes in. Who's not an obvious good guy
to begin with.
And he does bad things, and he does cruel things and selfish things, and at some point, or all along, either way, he ends up doing something that helps everyone out.
Yeah. I still think that...
Explain how that's not what Keanu Reeves does in this movie.
Because he saved those girls.
For what purpose?
To save them? To live? What do you mean, what purpose?
Because everyone was getting promotions and stuff. That was the whole thing they were talking about at the beginning.
Yeah, but that I'm saying that his actions are that of an outlaw hero. I'm not saying that it has anything to do with, like, you know, the chain of command.
Here's the thing. An outlaw hero is not going to needlessly murder people that don't need to be killed. His ex-partner, who talks to him directly after he kills those Korean guys, that conversation they have is the conversation between a real protagonist who has already changed and decides just to do good from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and an anti-hero.
You're talking about Washington?
Yes. Which was Terry Crews, the president from Idiocracy.
And the guy from White Chicks.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't he a basketball player? White Chocolate?
He used to be a football player.
Okay.
White Chocolate. That's Jason Williams. He's a white guy.
No, he said White Chocolate in the movie, though.
White Chocolate's a movie?
No, he said White Chocolate in the movie White Girls.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
he used to be a linebacker. I don't think he played in the NFL, but he played in college.
I'd just be scared.
He's a big, imposing guy.
He is.
Anyway, that conversation he has with him is exactly indicative of what we were talking about.
Right?
He says, okay, you remember Gone Baby Gone? We've already spoiled this a million times.
I've never seen it.
Oh, never mind. Gosh, dang it.
Sorry.
Never mind. But I can't.
I really do want to see it, though.
Gone Baby Gone, the main character, is the best, most moral good guy in any movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He kind of messes around on the dark side of things,
mm-hmm.
And he can go into that world and come out of it fine, unscathed. And he makes the whole point of the movie, that the thing that actually absolutely makes this movie is, at the end of Gone Baby Gone, he makes a moral decision that everyone in the movie doesn't like. Everyone, mm-hmm. even his girlfriend. But it's the absolute right thing by the definition of right to do. And everyone's unhappy for it, and bad things happen because of it, but it's the right thing to do. And Terry Crews' conversation with Keanu Reeves is, listen, whether or not it would have, you know, you had to go by the book, you had to do this thing. Uh-huh. The outlaw hero isn't like, you know what, I'm going to murder all these people, and then the good things will happen from that.
Uh-huh.
That's an anti-hero. The anti-hero is someone, like, an outlaw hero is going to find...
Can you look up anti-hero? Just because I'm like, I understand.
It's
what
a pretty
you're
vague. It's a pretty vague.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. That's what
but,
I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is, it's so vague that it encompasses everything that is not the John McClane
right.
good guy. It encompasses all of it. An outlaw hero is some sort of tiny, like, sub-definition that Ian made up.
I don't know. I think that it's a good thing to have. That just I don't know. I mean, you could call it something else if you want, but I think it's different.
Okay. Here's from Encyclopedia Britannica.
Oh, no, you can't trust that shit.
It's a real encyclopedia.
No, Britannica.
Antihero, a protagonist of a drama or narrative who is notably lacking in heroic qualities. That's it.
I thought Keanu had a lot of heroic qualities.
At the end, because he decided to make right on everything he's done wrong in his life. That's an antihero.
Well, I mean, in the beginning he had heroic qualities. What do you mean?
He didn't have heroic qualities.
He saved those girls.
And he was racist and murdered a bunch of guys in the process. Is that heroic?
No, he was trying to piss them off on purpose.
Come on.
He had to piss them off.
Come on.
So they could steal his car because it had the tracker inside of it.
Come on. But
he wasn't a racist.
He was...
He acted racist, but that's because he's an outlaw hero.
He went so far outside of the law... That it's just an anti-hero. The point I'm trying to make is there is no such thing as just an outlaw hero. It's part of anti-hero. It's just an anti-hero. Right. And you can call it whatever you want.
Who's the Punisher?
Hero.
Who's the Punisher?
Punisher's an anti-hero.
I'd say he's an outlaw hero.
It's an anti-hero. Spider-Man is a hero. Punisher is an anti-hero.
Oh yeah.
Cyclops is a hero. Wolverine is an anti-hero. You get it? They are people who are willing to murder for the good thing. That's what it is.
I think Wolverine's an outlaw hero.
Why?
Because he's
so
a
who's an
guy.
Anti-hero in the X-Men?
I don't think
none of them is worse than Wolverine. He doesn't care about killing people. He'll kill people.
Well, you say that as if there has to be an anti-hero in X-Men.
What I'm saying is there is. That's the point. Is that like when you get teams of people in things in fiction,
right?
They'll set it up so that people are like straight-edge protagonists and there's anti-heroes. Like,
can you name
spectrum.
Any other anti-heroes
In what?
I don't know, just anything. Just name some antiheroes. And you can, like, specify, like, what's an antihero. I can't, I'm not sure if it's there. Like, just some guy that's, like...
Okay, well, the most famous one is the Yojimbo samurai, and then the man with no name from the Clint Eastwood character from the Fistful of Dollars movies. He tricks, like, dumb bad guys into having shootouts with him, and then he kills them. And he does all this so that at the very end he can get some money. But in the process, he might help save a family or something like that. That's an antihero. Okay. That's exactly an antihero.
All right.
In Unforgiven.
Let you have this one. No, I'm probably not well-versed in the difference between antihero and outlaw hero.
It's because he made it up.
Yeah, I know that. But, I mean, I thought there was a pretty good difference. Just because
the way he described it, yeah. But, I mean...
Sounds different.
He had the time to sit there and probably write a book. No, I'm sure he didn't twiddle his thumbs. I'm sure he was very academic about it.
Sure.
Ian is nothing if not academic. Am I right?
I don't know. I just think they need to, I don't know. It's a broad definition. That's what I don't like about it. Mm-hmm. Just like.
So anyway, this anti-hero kills a bunch of Asians.
You can call anybody an anti-hero as long as they do something like
no, bad. You can't. You can't. It's not just doing something bad. It usually involves causing the death of other people, like willingly. It's not accidental. That's a tragic hero. A lot of times, a tragic hero will be something who, for instance, a tragic hero is someone like Oedipus Rex. Play Oedipus Rex, the play series, I'm sorry. You know what that's about?
No.
So, famous old Greek crap.
Oh, I love Greek crap.
Oedipus is born the prince of Greece or whatever. I don't know.
It's been
a long time. And he somehow like loses his memory or something, some crap, and goes off into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And as he's walking around, he meets some guy he thinks is a beggar on the road. It turns out it's actually the king. He kills the guy.
Wouldn't he know it was the king, though?
He'd lost his memory.
I miss that part, or did you just mention it?
I just said it like 2 seconds before that. I was paying attention. He kills the guy.
Right?
He kills the guy, which he doesn't know is his father.
How'd he lose his memory?
I don't know. And he ends up becoming king of the whole area.
Right.
And no one knows what he looks like anymore, because he was a kid when he was lost in the woods or whatever it was. I don't remember.
Did he know that he was a prince?
No. Uh-huh. So when he gets back to this place and becomes king...
Was he a farmer?
He ends up...
Right.
Banging the new queen, because he becomes the king and takes on the new queen.
Were
Guess who
related?
The queen is? It's his mother.
Oh, shit.
That's the whole point. So in the end, finally, some people are like, hey, guess what? You killed your father and you've been fucking your mom. And he goes crazy and claws his eyes out.
No, I'd just be like,
That's a tragic hero, right?
Hey, what are you going to do?
Hamlet is kind of skirting the line between a tragic hero and anti-hero.
The only thing I know about Hamlet is the skull thing.
Right.
I don't know anything about Hamlet. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything.
Hamlet's great. It's really good. There's many movies. The play is fantastic. If you just read it, it's great. The best movie.
How long is it?
That's quite a while. The best movie is 4 hours and 15 minutes.
What?
The Kenneth Branagh one. That's awesome. It's fantastically photographed, and it's also set in like the 1800s, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that one's fantastic. And Hamlet is so revenge-minded.
Yeah.
He's told by the ghost of his father that his uncle killed his father. And so the whole movie, he just is like seething and scheming to try to get back the throne. And he kills some people and he does some accident stuff. Like I don't think he's so much an anti-hero as a tragic hero because, spoiler alert, to those of you who don't know what Hamlet is, he ends up dying in the end.
You son of a bitch.
Everyone does. Like, every single person ends up dying in the end of it. Anyway, that's that.
So, wait, what were we talking about? Anti-hero?
Street Kings.
Street Kings.
What? There's a lot of people in this movie. Forrest Whitaker.
I mean famous people.
Let's just say a lot of people.
I mean, you could say that about any movie. There's a lot of faces.
A lot of well-known faces and actors.
Definitely.
Chris Evans.
Yep.
Forrest Whitaker.
Yep.
House, MD.
Seriously, what the fuck? That really threw me out of the movie. I was like,
Terry Crews.
I wanted to say something sarcastic.
Keanu Reeves.
To his team.
Jay Moore with a porno mustache. John, whatever, the guy with the goatee, who ends up getting brained in the brain with a with the shovel.
Did you mention the guy from Fantastic Four?
Yeah, Chris Evans.
Okay, I don't know any of
that. A little guy I like to call Common, the game, Cedric the Entertainer. I was very entertained. So
best part of that. It was annoying because I hate when, like, he felt so out of place when they introduced some of the characters.
I thought he felt less out of place than Common in the game, because I feel like when you put a rapper in a movie, it's a gimmick.
Yeah, exactly.
But Cedric the Entertainer, actually, I thought his role was interesting, because usually he plays some sort of funny dude.
Exactly.
Like I mean, what's the sequel to Get Shorty? Whatever, screw you. He's in that, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he's funny when he comes in.
It wasn't
in,
that.
You know?
It was, his acting was fine. It didn't feel bad once he started going. But when you first see him, I was like, you know, the people in front of us were like, because, you know, everybody knows
he said. But he wasn't doing anything funny,
Yeah, exactly. It was just that kind of threw me off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, but once, you know, he acted well, and it wasn't, you know, like totally ridiculous. I'm just saying it was just like, yeah, I don't know. Kind of took me out of the movie a little bit, but it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as I initially thought when I first saw him driving in his, you know.
Yeah, his pimpish 64 Impala with a, thing.
It was just something like that.
It was a good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, and one thing about it is it was totally predictable. You know?
Totally, absolutely. It was like, very structured.
Like, you know, every time you see his partners or whatever, they're always like, don't worry, we protected you. And he's never like, what?
Oh, no, it's what the fuck exactly. It's super structured, and it follows every single little contrivance.
Yeah.
His backstory is a little weird, and they introduce it in a weird way. It ends up working fine because it's very structured, but so his main motivation in this movie is he wants to find out who killed his ex-partner, because he has a pang of remorse about the fact that he was there and watched him die. And he used to be his buddy, but then he turned crooked. Mm-hmm. But another thing about him that they kind of tell you in, like, 45 minutes into the movie, is that his wife was killed.
Yeah, it's more broad than just his partner. It's, like, his whole entire
And so thing. We know why, then we know why he kind of turned crooked, because he stopped giving a crap about the world after his wife died.
I don't like the word crooked, just because
if you illegally kill suspects and plant drugs and guns on them, you think that's crooked?
Well, I do, but, I mean, like, when you say crooked, it has, like, negative connotations of, like, you know, being like a horrible cop, like his partners were.
That's the thing, is that he's the one who has the remorse and decides to break it all up. That's fine. That's the setup for a movie like this. I mean, he is a crooked cop. That's exactly what he is, and then he decides to get out of it.
I don't know. It's just when I hear crooked, it's just like he's, you know, like dealing drugs back to, you know, the criminals and all that kind of stuff. But he's just like, I don't want to say outlaw hero, but he's just like, he uses, you know, I just need to elaborate on that.
Well, one thing I think they could refute all that is that later on in the movie, they talked about Whitaker a few times said, like they always say, he's the tip of the spear, and Whitaker used him for so much stuff. Like, he's been doing this crap, just like what happened at the beginning of the movie, for a long time.
Yeah.
He's been doing a lot of illegal stuff. I mean, that's crooked. A cops that willingly do illegal stuff is crooked. And LAPD is apparently rife with that, according to David Ayer. Mm-hmm. Because every single movie is like some rookie cop hooks up with the new guy, with the big wig guy. And the rookie cop's like, all right, let's go do our thing. And he's like, well, first we got to drop off and get some weed and sell it to some crippled kids. Like, every single David Ayer movie is like that. First we'll take some kickbacks from the Korean store owner. They're always like that.
I'll call him in a...
He's a crooked hero.
He's a crooked hero.
He's a crooked hero. Do something with that, Ian.
He's illegal. What he does is illegal. He acts outside the law.
The murder and the corruption that he does is illegal, and he does that outside of the law.
Well, so. He's an out. He's kind of an outlaw hero, if you will. Or an outlaw cop. What have you?
You know what's weird is that when you set up a movie like this with so many actors in it, you really don't get a chance to see the performances of many of them. Keanu Reeves, actually, I thought was pretty decent in this.
It totally fit with his character.
It did, totally, because it worked for it. And he was actually kind of forced to go a little bit outside his comfort box, and he kind of had a little crazy a few times, and he had some funny lines.
Yeah.
You know, there was some stuff like that. And he really did seem to fit. Like, usually, the one thing that I have a problem with the David Ayer movies is that the veteran cop they put in those two cop situations, like in this one, it's Keanu Reeves and Chris Evans.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dark Chris Blue, Evans is who?
The Fantastic
Four. Okay, thank
you. In Dark Blue, it's Kurt Russell and Scott Speedman. In Training Day, it's Denzel and Ethan Hawke. You know, stuff like that. And what happens is the veteran guy is always so all-knowing and so, like, just so, like, prescient over every situation, knows exactly what will happen all the time. And they seem so calm about everything that it's like, oh, this guy's seen it all. And it gets kind of old. Mm-hmm. But the Keanu Reeves, though, he never, like, the one thing about him and his face and, like, the way he acts is that he never seems like he knows it all. So mm-hmm. even when he does in that one scene where he says, you see those guys in that yard over there? I'm going to walk toward them, and one of them's going to run away. And it happens exactly like he explains it.
Yeah.
It still seems like he got lucky. You know,
totally.
Like,
totally.
Because he looks kind of like, I really don't know what I'm doing. It's sort of thing. So I think it was good casting in that part. But otherwise, like, Forrest Whitaker, he went really over the top nutso in it. And everyone else is just kind of like, Jay Morg makes some smarmy remarks. And everyone else, you know, I don't know.
I liked Forrest Whitaker's character.
Yeah.
It was kind of, you know, because it was like he had a god complex and all that kind of stuff.
Hugh Laurie was a little out of place, I think.
Just like a Cedric.
It was a gimmick thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a gimmick casting because you think, oh, some people who watch House are going to watch this movie now because he's in it.
They're like, ooh.
Because otherwise you have no reason. There are literally hundreds of white actors his age who can play that character from America.
Totally.
And you get a British guy who has a really harsh American accent when he fakes it to play him. Like, what's the point?
Sure. He's like, my diagnosis is...
Yeah. And then another thing that bothered me about that was that he always, even in House, like, he seems super wholesome and nice. Like, he's a really good guy underneath it all. And they have this scene where Forrest Whitaker walks in and is like, remember when we were rookies and you got that blowjob from the hooker? It doesn't seem like Hugh Laurie would get a blowjob from a hooker. You're like, no, he didn't.
I know. I was like, wait, is he shitting?
No,
he kidding?
And then Hugh Laurie's like, yeah, I did that. It's true. Like, it was the best blowjob I ever had.
Yeah, it was kind of
And I was
weird.
Thinking, no, it wasn't. You didn't have it. You didn't get a blowjob. You liar. Stop.
You were working part-time at a hospital.
Yeah.
You're the best. He's the best we've got.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Yeah.
What?
He likes the Vicodin. He's a real jerk, but deep down, he's a real... He's a hooker with a heart of gold, basically.
Okay.
So... Let's do a letter grade thing.
Do I have to go first? Just sure. Because so I can't play off your rating. I'll give it a probably. What do you think? Like a.
I already have mine decided. So
solid B.
I'm gonna give it a B minus.
Okay.
I think that's pretty decent. That's pretty decent, especially considering it was getting such terrible reviews. The thing is, it's very entertaining. It's just entertaining, and like, you know. You go into some sort of like cop movie expecting what you're going to get.
Yep.
And I totally got exactly what I was expecting.
I actually thought it was going to be like trying to, I expected a lot more like rap music, you know, and like trying to be all like gangster and modern and stuff. I don't know.
The thing is, since David Ayer's movie, well, that's the other thing you didn't know about his movies is that like generally there's a couple of scenes like in the beginning where there's some sort of rap music playing where some sort of thugs commit a crime.
Right.
And the rest of the movie is just cop stuff. And cops don't listen to rap. You know, they're racist. LAPD cops are racist, apparently. So.
It had some funny lines, too, in it. It was kind of...
Yeah, there was some entertaining stuff in it.
He was racist, kind of. I don't know. I think that was just, like, to provoke... You know, to provoke the Asian guys because
his
plan wouldn't have worked out if they didn't steal his car.
Yeah, I thought of a lot of it was, but I mean, he's set up not to be like a good person. You know, he's a drunk and he's
totally
So anyway,
I mean, he was a good person, but like he's like, oh, my wife died and I couldn't solve her murder, so I have to solve all these murders to make up for it.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Monk. Kind of like Monk.
By the way, R.I.P. the therapist on Monk. He died, I guess, very recently. Overshadowed by the great Charlton Heston passing on to the next life,
have to pass.
The other side. Go for it. I'll talk for a minute.